At the top of our program today, earlier this month, there was an important development in a story that has roiled the University of Michigan and received national coverage. After the university had earlier ruled that a student had violated the school's sexual conduct policy, U of M administrators announced it was throwing out the ruling. It had reached a settlement with the defendant. It would do so if former student Drew Sterrett agreed not to return to the school or to disparage it. The university's investigation into a complaint involving Mr. Sterrett concluded he had non-consensual sex with a female classmate in 2012. In accordance with federal Title IX policy, the university conducted an investigation and later expelled him. Police and the courts were not involved. Sterrett and his legal representatives later sued the university, claiming its constitutional rights were violated. That lawsuit, which was filed last year, led to this month's settlement. Our first guest represented the unnamed plaintiff in that case. Douglas Fearberg has blasted the settlement, saying U of M turned its back on and blindsided and betrayed his client. He calls the university's handling of the case abusive. Douglas Fearberg, welcome to Current State.
Well, good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. We're glad to have you on. Let's clarify one detail before we dive into this. This settlement requires approval by a federal judge. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true. And if I could clarify one other thing.
Certainly.
My client was not a party to that federal litigation, so we did not, in the manner in which you stated it, represent her in that case. She was deposed in that case, but she was never a party.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
There, no problem.
More clarification may be required before we're through with this interview.
It often is.
It's a sprawling, complicated topic. Let's return to the approval by the federal judge, though. What do you know about that step? Is approval likely, unlikely, what?
Well, I would imagine approval is likely because both parties to the litigation, the university and Mr. Sterrett, are requesting the same relief from the court, so there's really no opposition to it.
You've lambasted both this settlement and the university's original investigation. Help us understand why you think it's wrong for U of M to settle with Mr. Sterrett.
Well, first of all, it took more than a year for my client to drag the University of Michigan into the Title IX process that resulted in the finding of Mr. Sterrett's responsibility. That then became the subject of a federal investigation into the University of Michigan process because of its abuse of my client's rights. When she endured in that process and obtained a finding of responsibility against Mr. Sterrett that resulted in his expulsion from the university, she expected that things were then done and she'd be able to get back on with her life. That ultimately didn't happen, and when the University of Michigan was sued, it indicated that it would defend its process, defend the finding, and then it rolled over.
Regularly, these cases do not involve the police or the courts, at least as far as I understand. And critics say that is an untenable process, that universities lack the resources and competence to fairly adjudicate these cases. Are you one of those critics?
No, I'm not one of those critics. And, you know, there's often clown speak in our nation, and that's exactly what it is. You know, when the critics say that the schools lack the resources and everything else, they don't lack the resources. They just have to do it right. So they have to train individuals in accordance with the law and then handle those processes in accordance with the law. It's not that complicated. It's not rocket science, and it's done across the country on a daily basis. And yes, there are examples where it doesn't go right, but those examples don't set what the standard actually is.
How much do you know about these university proceedings? Because I'm not sure the larger public is aware of how these are conducted. Can you shed any light, help us understand how these investigations, these adjudications are run?
Sure. And we've handled them across the country on behalf of victims for many years. If you can imagine a student at any university, there's a possibility that they can engage in some serious wrongdoing against another student on or off campus. Regardless of whether or not it's sexual violence or hazing or assault or some form of misconduct, universities have an adjudication process to determine whether or not that student violated the school code of conduct. In the case of sexual violence, there are often claims of that nature. And the school has a process where a complaint is made, the complaint is investigated. There may be a hearing in some circumstances where witnesses are called to present their stories to a panel of individuals that are trained to hear this. And then a finding is made as to whether or not the student engaged in misconduct as that conduct is identified under the school rules. So for decades, it has been done with respect to all sorts of misconduct at colleges, anywhere from cheating to assault to setting things on fire, whatever it may be. And it's been handled, generally speaking, appropriately. When you get to sexual violence, however, it hasn't been in many circumstances because the standards of what consent is, what it isn't, certain cultural myths about what is rape have interfered with that process. Universities are starting to get it right, starting to be better, starting to do the training in accordance with Title IX and what the federal law requires. And in this circumstance, University of Michigan personnel weren't entirely properly trained to carry it out correctly, but my client did get a result under that process, defended it in front of the University of Michigan. It was upheld approximately four times, and then they abandoned ship.
Attorney Douglas Fearberg is our guest here on WKAR's Current State. He represented the unnamed plaintiff in a case at the University of Michigan in which Mr. Drew Sterrett, a student at the time, had, according to the university, engaged in non-consensual sex with Mr. Fearberg's client, and an agreement was just decision was just thrown out earlier this month when the university came to an agreement with Mr. Sterrett and his attorneys. The Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights is now reviewing your client's case, correct?
Yes, it's under investigation. Several months ago, the investigation was open because of what appeared to be abusive treatment of my client throughout that process.
Are you willing to speculate how often the people directly involved in these cases are subjected to the kinds of abusive treatment that you claim your client was?
Well, I think there's presently about 70 universities that are under investigation for failure to comply with Title IX requirements. And we have many examples in terms of the women we've been representing or the victims we've been representing around the country where universities just don't get it right. Like, for example, we have a circumstance in Illinois where there was a finding of sexual violence against the victim, and then the university threw it out because she didn't make her allegation of the sexual violence within 180 days. How on God's green earth that matters is beyond us, and the federal government has now opened an investigation into that university. We have clients in Kansas who were sexually assaulted, and the university decided that because the student who sexually assaulted our clients did that off campus, that it had no jurisdiction to suspend or expel them from school.
Well, that's
ludicrous ideas from college administrators who are certainly short on training and perhaps on intelligence too.
But earlier, I want to be clear about this. You mm-hmm. still maintain that the present system where the university takes the lead on these investigations and adjudications is still a tenable system despite the cases you've just cited.
Oh, yeah, it's tenable. When I say 70 universities are under investigation, what's the number? Thousands in this country, that are managing to do the training properly and to commit the resources to understand that protecting women's rights on campus or victims' rights or victims of sexual violence, male or female, is important to do and that they're obligated to do it and they're obligated to do it correctly. So, yeah, there are examples where it's not being done correctly, but the examples where it is being done correctly don't make the news. So yesterday, I'm sure several allegations of sexual violence at different schools were handled appropriately. and no one's concerned about it but the parties that were in those proceedings. You know, the Jameis Winston case that's made the news a lot is not the standard for what is happening on a daily basis, and universities are compelled to do the training correctly and get it right, like in any other circumstance, and sexual violence is no different. So just in that respect, just as universities are required to get it right when there are other allegations of wrongdoing between students, they're required to get this right, particularly because it's important to the rights of sexual assault victims.
I want to share part of the statement from the University of Michigan. This is attributable to the university spokesman, Rick Fitzgerald. I just want to get this out there for the record, and this is not the entire statement, but the statement says, the university offers extensive research-informed educational programs designed to reduce sexual misconduct and increase reporting. We strive to continually improve our processes to improve the experiences and outcomes for students who report sexual misconduct to the university. Any response to that?
Yeah, that's generally true, and those words are written by their lawyers and stand for a certain proposition. And ideally, they will meet that standard. They didn't with respect to my client, and that's why they're under investigation.
There was a development yesterday in our state legislature that I'd like to run by you. Some state lawmakers here in Michigan proposed a measure that would require schools to teach that a yes, an explicit yes, is required for consensual sex as part of a student anti-rape strategy. This is involved with your line of work to some extent. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's appropriate. I mean, why is the default in our concept of what consent is that a person has a green light for sex unless someone says no? And, you know, according to rape myth, that no must be screamed out, that no must be accompanied by scratching and fighting and all sorts of other things that are just myth. So rather than have that conceptually be defaulted as a green light in all circumstances, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying that before one engages in sexual misconduct, they need an affirmative statement that, yes, that's what I want. It's not that complicated. It's not going to disrupt the history of generations of sexual activity. It just may make some circumstances more responsible and consistent with the victim's interest or lack thereof of engaging in sex acts.
Attorney Douglas Feerberg has been our guest. He was the legal representative for an unnamed plaintiff at a controversial case at the University of Michigan that went on to receive national coverage. Mr. Feerberg, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for you covering this topic. It's really relevant to what's going on at colleges today. Thanks so much.
Thank you.